This is the Sex and Psychology Podcast, and it's the sex ed you never got in school and won't get anywhere else. I am your host, Dr. Justin Lee Miller. I am a social psychologist and research fellow at the Kinsey Institute and author of the book, Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You Improve Your Sex Life. What goes on behind the scenes when porn is filmed? It turns out that there's a lot more that goes into creating an erotic video than you might think. So that's what we're going to be talking about in today's show. I'm going to be speaking with a director who has decades of experience creating adult films. We're going to explore how she got into this business in the first place, her approach to making erotic cinema, and what she does to ensure the comfort and safety of performers. She is a pioneer in creating ethical and feminist porn, so we're also going to talk about the reaction her work has received in the broader male-dominated porn industry, as well as how it has changed the landscape for adult films. My guest is Erica Lust, an award-winning indie erotic filmmaker who creates sex-positive adult cinema by portraying relatable characters and realistic hot sex. Over the past 20 years, Erica has directed 6 feature films and series and over 130 short films. In 2015, Erica gave a popular TEDx talk titled, It's Time for Porn to Change. This is going to be a fascinating conversation. Stick around and we're going to jump in right after the break. Are you ready to take your career to the next level and become a certified sexuality professional? The Sexual Health Alliance's certification programs are here to empower you. From sex therapists and sex educators to sex coaches and couples therapists, Shaw's comprehensive and flexible programs streamline your path to certification. Learn from leading experts in the field and complete all of your necessary certification requirements in a self-paced, flexible online format. Most importantly, you'll gain the knowledge, skills, and credentials you need to excel in your field while connecting with an engaged community of professionals from around the world. Take your next step at Sexual Health Alliance. Visit sexualhealthalliance.com or check the show notes for the link. Hi, Erica, and welcome to the Sex and Psychology Podcast.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me. So we met a couple of years ago in New York City. I was invited to be a panelist at one of your film screenings, and that was actually the first time I had ever seen any of your films. And I found it to be fascinating. So I've been a fan ever since. So
I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you. Many people don't really know that another kind of porn actually exists.
Yeah, I think at the time I had heard about ethical porn, but I had never really seen it myself. So this was an opportunity for me to really learn about it, meet the director. And so it was a fun experience. And I'm looking forward to diving in and chatting more about it. But before we get into that, let me start with a question about your professional journey. So how did you get into the world of adult films? What drew you to this profession?
It's a pretty long story, actually, and I guess that it started somehow back at university. I was studying political science and was very much into trying to understand the world we live in, gender structures, power structures, my own life as a young adult, my sexuality, my identity, and all these questions kind of was something that me and my friends were talking about a lot. At the same time, I was watching porn, like many young people do, to find inspiration, obviously, and to try to kind of feel good about myself, but also, I guess, to learn a little bit about sex. Because even if porn is fiction and it's not really meant to be sex education, most people, they do actually kind of use it to learn a bit about sex. And while I was doing that, I realized that most of the porn that I was watching, that it did turn my body on, but somehow I didn't connect to it 100%. My brain was a bit conflicted and was going a bit all over the place, saying, like, why are they doing that? And why isn't it really about the women? Because it felt to me that most of the heterosexual porn that I was watching was very much about the men and about their experiences. And somehow the women were used as some kind of beautiful objects or some kind of tool to male sexuality, really, but it wasn't really their stories. And the more I kind of watched it and talked about it and started to search on the internet for sources and articles and books and inspirations, because obviously, you know, I was a political science student and I couldn't just help myself. I needed to investigate this subject that was so fascinating to me. So the more I got into it, the more I realized that it wasn't just me, that actually most of my male friends, they had, even if they were gay or heterosexual, they had a good relationship with porn. They used it, it worked for them, they were happy, they didn't really think about it. Whereas most of my female friends had this kind of similar experience to mine. And then I realized that there must be a structure there somehow behind the whole kind of concept of porn. And I realized that most of the people who were making porn were actually men. And they were making it from their gaze, for their own taste, thinking about their own sexuality. But women were kind of lacking in the process of thinking it and doing it and making it. And in the whole kind of porn industry, I realized that female voices were lacking.
So basically, you couldn't find the kind of porn or the kind of representation you wanted, so you had to make it yourself, right?
Yeah, that was a bit of what happened. And obviously, that's a whole other story of how did I actually end up making it, because obviously, it wasn't an easy process. And I didn't know anything about porn, really, how it worked and how to make it. I didn't even know that much about filmmaking. So I signed myself up to film school, started to learn more about how to make films. And I also, at the same time, started to work in audiovisual productions, mostly at the beginning as a driver and a runner and a catering maker and a production assistant and all the kind of easy roles, but to really understand how do you make a film, etc. And when I had done a few courses of filmmaking studies, then I had an opportunity to make a short film. And I guess that was the moment. This was back in 2004, so actually 20 years ago. And that was, you know, the moment where I sat down with all my thoughts and all my kind of ideas about porn, but I had to make them reality and facing, you know, the difficulties of really making something that for me felt like it was worth it. I came up with a short film called The Good Girl, and somehow that little film led me into this whole career that I have had these last 20 years of my life, right? And I became not only Erica, but Erica Lust.
Well, I love that story. I appreciate you sharing it. And it sounds like there was a lot that went into this. It was quite a journey for you to get where you are, and a lot that you learned along the way, because you kind of had to blaze the path, the trail for yourself, because there weren't people really doing the kind of work that you wanted to do, but you managed to figure out how to do it. So let's talk a little bit about some of the problems with the way sex is depicted in the media. So in the world of television and film, there are problems with portrayals of sex. There are also problems in the world of porn, which you already hinted at a little bit. So let me ask you this. What is it that Hollywood gets wrong when it comes to depictions of sex on screen? And what is it that porn, mainstream porn, gets wrong as well?
Well, Hollywood is kind of scared of sex, mostly. What we see is some kind of censorship of the most intimate part of sex, how we actually, you know, have serious conversations about sex, about boundaries, about what we like, what we don't like, etc. All of that is cut out. But unfortunately, if we go to most of the mainstream porn, kind of a bit of the same happens. Even if I, you know now how this industry works, and I know that in the adult industry, people are having these conversations. They're having them off camera. They're having them before they're shooting sex. But in lots of the porn that's out there, and especially the porn that most people encounter on the tube sites, etc., it's just about the sex, the gynecological kind of aspect of the sex. It's a lot centered around penetrations in and out, and many times 4 minutes of a hard vaginal penetration if we're talking about, you know, heterosexual sex scenes. And then the women are screaming in these fake orgasms, and the reality for most women is it's pretty far from that experience. We know, obviously, from lots of studies and from our own life experiences that most women need clitoral stimulation to reach an orgasm. And this is something that we don't see in most of the porn out there. So I really think that there's so much lacking, to be honest. So I don't even know where to start. I mean, it's the gender roles that we see. We do see a systemic kind of a power relationships where men are in control, where women many times are serving but not really experiencing. That is definitely happening. I know that many young men feel a bit frustrated when they watch kind of what we call mainstream porn, because their roles are so limited into the sex machine, the penetrative sex machine going on, taking her, and she's up against the wall and everything is kind of fast and furious. And I think that sex is so much more than these kind of fictionalized images that we see in most of the porn. There's so many aspects of it. It's so much of it that has to do with intimate aspects and with conversations and about getting to know not only our partner's bodies, but our own bodies first, etc. It's difficult to say kind of what do they get wrong, because I think they get so many things wrong. It's also, you know, all this racist language that is being used, the way we are, you know, divided by our primal kind of features. Women are teens or MILFs, or they're, you know, big-breasted, or they're tiny, or they're, you know, everything is classified, and somehow it feels a bit like we're losing our humanity. I long for, and I wish, and what I'm trying to show in my films is a sexuality that represents so many different aspects of our humanity and how we actually encounter each other and how we meet in sexual relationships. And I want my audience to feel kind of what the performers are almost feeling. I want them to capture the sense of it and to kind of to follow these characters on their erotic journey somehow, to understand who they are and why are they together? What is that passion that they are sharing, that attraction? And I, as you know, a super filmmaker fan, I want to make movies that are beautiful and that has some kind of cinematic, artistic aspirations that help us to enhance the sexual experience, really.
Yeah. So your films really kind of straddle the line between a Hollywood movie and porn, because you've got that cinematic storytelling element and the high production value coupled with the explicit erotic content that you're not going to get in a typical movie. But it's not like typical porn either, because you aim to present those realistic portrayals of sex and sexuality and intimacy in an ethical way. So it's a hybrid of the two in some ways, but it's also its own unique thing that makes it different.
It's a bit of indie cinema, I would say. Yep. You know, it's more like the structure of it, because obviously we're not managing the Hollywood budgets, etc. So you're not going to get to that kind of big expressions of cinematic setups. But it's pretty much the same budgets as independent cinema. So if you like what they show at Sundance, etc., then there's a possibility that you're going to like the kind of films that I'm making.
Yes. So we know that in Hollywood, it's become pretty normative for people to hire intimacy coordinators for sex scenes. And their job is basically to make sure that the performers are comfortable, that everything is consensual, and that boundaries are respected. But we don't hear about intimacy coordinators in the world of porn. I think the common perception is that the cameras start rolling and people just kind of go at it. But it seems to me that you kind of function as an intimacy coordinator in your film projects. So tell us a bit about that. How do you work to ensure the comfort and safety of your performers?
Well, it's an aspect that has always been very important for us. The way we are working with performers, the information they have access to before a shoot, how they are participating in the process of creating their characters, of designing the kind of sex they are going to have, of choosing co-partners for their scenes, etc. But what I have seen in the adult industry is actually a change pretty similar as what has been happening in Hollywood and on television, etc. The need for intimacy coordinators, it is something that actually is becoming more and more standard even in the porn industry. Many of the professional bigger companies in this industry are getting together to talk about this aspect and are trying to set kind of standards for the industry of how we should be working together with the performers to assure as safe sets as possible and as good kind of relationships as possible. Because the reality here is that this is better for absolutely everybody. When people feel safe, that is when they can have really good sexual experiences. We know this in private life, obviously. The more open we are with our relationships, the more open we are talking about intimate aspects, talking about ITS tests that we have done, sharing information about our health conditions, etc. All of that really, really helps to create a safer ambient. And for me, part of what I call kind of an ethical production process is to be aware of all these aspects. It's really about having good relationships with performer, making sure that they are well prepared before a shoot. They are listened to during a shoot. They know that their words have an impact and that they have a chance to also to see how they want to be portrayed on camera, right? But then when we are talking about all these ethical aspects of porn making, etc., it's not only about the production process of making a film and of being safe on set, etc. It also goes for other aspects as marketing, distribution, and consuming porn. Because I think that there's one thing that people sometimes don't realize, because most people, they are watching porn, but they don't think of themselves as part of the industry. But actually, if you are a porn consumer, you are part of this industry. So if what you want is better conditions for everybody who is working in this industry, you should be respectful to the workers. You should consume ethical pornography. You should pay for your porn, because porn is expensive to make and people work hard to make great porn and to assure the standards and the safe sets. So please become more responsible, be part of a better porn movement, because that's how we are all gonna have a better environment in this industry. And I think that is really, really important.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you've been talking about, I think helps to highlight how there's so much that goes into any given porn film or clip that you might see online. You know, I think a lot of people don't ever stop to think about the backstory and everything that went into just filming one particular scene. You know, there's so much that goes into it. So, yeah, I mean, if people aren't willing to pay for it, then that creates a whole other issue in terms of, you know, how do people get paid fairly for the work that they're doing? And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But I'm curious as to what kind of reaction you've received to your work from within the porn industry. And I think this is an interesting question because it feels like ethical porn and feminist porn are often pitted as a rival of mainstream porn, where ethical porn is often pitched as good porn and mainstream porn as bad porn. You know, in the popular media, it seems like there's kind of like this tension between the two. So what has the reaction been like, particularly on the part of that male-dominated mainstream porn side?
Well, I think that when I started 20 years ago, I felt very much like an outsider and my voice was critical towards the industry because I was seeing many things that I didn't agree with, that I didn't like. I was asking for better awareness of what was going on, better working conditions, better representation, more diversity, female gaze, lots of things that I felt we can do this much better. But during these 20 years, I have become part of this industry and I have seen this industry change. I have seen how people have got inspiration. I have seen how performers have gotten much stronger in their participation and their voice and their commands on how they want to be treated, etc. I've also seen with the movements of OnlyFans and social media how performers have gotten more power over their own careers, how they now can earn a living without having to work with certain production companies. So if the production companies are not living up to the standards that the performers are asking for, the performers are not working with them anymore. So the industry has changed partly because of that demand from performers, partly because they have seen it from outsiders like myself and other independent kind of filmmakers, creators who have gotten in here and who have started to talk about it. And partly because they have realized that it is so much better for everybody. And that, you know, there is really kind of a porn panic also going on in the world at this moment, part of the, you know, kind of cultural wars that we are seeing, where many people are talking about the harmful effects of porn, the fear of porn, etc. So I also believe that this industry have realized that if they want to be seen as an inspiration for people and something that adults have the right to watch when they want that, then they also have to show that they are willing to step up the game and be responsible. Then obviously, as in any industry, there are many players. And we all know that it's not only the porn industry that may have some bad players, etc., or people not living up to these standards that I'm talking about at this moment. This is happening. We've been talking about Hollywood today. This obviously has been happening in Hollywood. This has been happening in the fashion industry. This is happening in any cafe, restaurant, bar out there, in a lawyer's office, etc. Because the world we live in is a sexist world. And I think that sometimes porn get blamed for many of the problems that exist in our society. But actually, the way I see it, porn is in many aspects mirroring the problems of our society. So these values that we see in porn when we say, it's violent towards women, it's sexist, it's racist, etc. Many of these values, they come from the world we live in, from this patriarchal society, and is only picked up by people in this industry and reproduced on a sexual level. But obviously this becomes, you know, a ring of, yes, obviously young people go to the internet to learn about sex. They learn from sometimes this sexist porn that they find, and then they reproduce it in their own lives, and then porn gets kind of blamed for what is happening. So I think it's important that we realize that porn is media, as lots of other kinds of media, and all media is showing messages, is transmitting messages about gender roles, about how we're supposed to be or act or look, etc. And all those messages are being picked up by the people who are watching it. So somehow what we need here is for consumers to be critical, to dare to talk about sex and porn, to talk about what they like and what they don't like, but talk about it in an open, critical, respectful way. Because I think that here, one of the problems we have is for so many people, they don't even admit that they are watching porn. It's something they see as shameful, stigmatized, difficult. So they hide their own porn consumption. So they don't talk to other people about how it affects them, how it makes them feel, how what they like and what they don't like about it. And I think that that is what we need to break now. We need to break this huge stigma that we have around sex and porn and make it part of our social conversations, make it part of conversations that we dare to have with our friends, with our partners, with our kids. Because I think it's absolutely necessary. Porn has become such a huge part of media that we are consuming. People are talking about that porn is already one third of the internet. So obviously it is having a huge effect on our lives. And we have to realize that and stop hiding it and become responsible. And I'm not saying this in the way of let's censure it all, let's cut it out, because I do believe that as sexual human beings that we want it, that we have, you know, during our whole humanity, we have always been interested in sex. We were, you know, painting images of sex in the caves when we lived in caves. We've done it in, you know, all cultures, Kama Sutra, Shunga. We've done it, you know, in Greece, in Rome. It's part of who we are. And I think that it's important that we embrace that, but we become aware and responsible in our consumption of sexually explicit images.
Yeah, I think you raise a lot of really important points there. You know, there is this big moral panic that's going on about porn right now. People seem to be very polarized because porn has become politicized and people tend to view it through this very black and white lens, you know, where a lot of people don't even make a distinction between ethical porn and mainstream porn. It's just all porn is porn and all porn is bad in their view. And so it makes it really hard to have productive, nuanced conversations about the topic. And, you know, that's something that I struggle with. It's something that all sex educators and researchers and therapists struggle with, is when you try to talk about this subject, a lot of people will just kind of shut down because they already have their mind made up. And so it's really hard when you encounter that sort of polarization to break through and have any kind of productive conversation about this. But I think you make a lot of important points about how we need to change that. But unfortunately, it's easier said than done.
But I think that when we watch porn, if we start asking ourselves a few questions, I think that that will help us to navigate it better or to understand what we like and what we don't like. So I would like to ask people to, when they navigate porn, see, is there an about page? Can you find anything about that company, about that film? Can you watch a making of? Can you learn anything? Can you read an interview maybe with the director or with performers? So you make sure that what you are watching align with who you are and how you see sexuality, etc.? And then ask yourself questions like, do you like the kind of porn you're watching? Does it feel good for you? Or are you watching things that later makes you feel a bit like, oh, I just ate a bag of potato chips too fast, or a fast food meal, and now I feel really, oh, maybe that wasn't the best food, the best nutrients. Maybe I didn't really take care of my own health there. I think that we should kind of be a bit more mindful about our sexual interactions and experiences. And I think that porn consumption very much gets into this. I want to watch porn that's worth my sexual energy. That's my mood. That's what I want. You know, I don't want to put that sexual energy on something that I don't agree with and that feels wrong to me.
Yeah, we need to be watching porn that's worth watching. Well, thank you so much for this amazing conversation, Erica. It was a pleasure to have you here. Can you please tell my listeners where they can go to learn more about you and your work?
They can come to ericalust.com, and that's Erica with a K, because some people write it with a C, and I'm Swedish, actually, so it's the Viking way of writing Erica.
So we have much more to talk about, and I'm really looking forward to continuing our conversation in the next episode and talking all about the subject of ethical gangbangs.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. To keep up with new episodes of this podcast, visit my website, Sex and Psychology, at sexandpsychology.com, or subscribe on your favorite platform, where I hope you'll take a moment to rate and review the show. You can also follow me on the socials for daily sex research updates. I'm on Twitter and TikTok at Justin Lay Miller and Instagram at Justin J. Lay Miller. Also, be sure to check out my book, Tell Me What You Want. And if you have a question you'd like me to answer on a future episode of this show, you can leave me a podcast voicemail at speakpipe.com/sexandpsychology. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.